Greetings, we are the Boss Prophets and the Generals, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly supernatural word of empowerment.
We decree by the power of God that what you are about to hear will begin to shift you into
your new season.
Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
I thank God for each and every one of y'all online. Give God the glory, the honor, and the praise for you guys' life. And I just thank God for each and every one of you all. I give an honor to God, which is ahead of my life. Give an honor to the Holy Spirit and the Messiah, my best friend. Glory to God. And yes, the Messiah, Jesus, has come to me face to face. Glory to God. Many times he visits us, me and my wife, and we know he's there, but he don't manifest. But sometimes he does manifest. He just walk through a wall or come in a dream or something, and he's the most beautifulest person that I ever seen in my life, I tell you. And I just honor my best friend, my Lord and my Savior. I love him so very much because he's my everything. Without him, I would be a filthy wretch. Without him, I would be somewhere dead in a ditch. Without him, I don't know what I would do. So I give him all the honor, the glory, the praise, and the honor. And I honor all of the fivefold offices, every gift, every talent, every office capacity in the kingdom of God. Thank God for you guys, every prophet, apostle, so forth. Whoever's joining us for fellowship on the line is those visitors. I love you guys very much, and we honor you here at KCI. One thing about KCI is we are big on honor. We big on honor here at KCI because I often teach my people that I teach the people that honor is the language of the kingdom. And the body of Christ, for whatever reason, we still haven't tapped into it. We still don't get it quite yet that honor is one of the utmost principles of God. When we, and first of all, when the body of Christ, because the Bible says it first starts at the house of the Lord, when the body of Christ learns to honor, and I'm not just talking about honor God. We must give God all the glory. But the Bible talks about in 2 Timothy, those who labor and those who preach the gospel, they are worthy of double honor. So when we learn how to honor, when we learn how to truly honor God's servants, God, the ones he uses, that's when he's going to smite the church with a blessing. A mighty blow. He's going to throw a mighty blow of blessings at the church, and I mean left and right. But until we learn how to honor the spiritual fathers and the spiritual mothers, and that's not just in the church but in the kingdom of God, until we truly learn how to honor, we're going to be stuck in the stone age. So I try to teach the people that God has given me steward over those souls that I watch over, I try to teach them, you know, that honor is the language of the kingdom. Honor can take you a long way. I've seen people who honor God and honor his servants. I've seen them become overnight millionaires. I've seen people who honor God and his servants. I've seen people who honor God and his servants. They ministry take up and go from nobody knowing them to being on a national scene. All across the country and all across the world. He knew how to honor. Glory to God. And this ain't my sermon on the day, but the Holy Spirit wants somebody to hear. It's about honor. Honor is the language. It's the language of the kingdom. There's so much disrespect going on to God's leaders. I don't care what a man of God or a woman of God have done. It ain't your place to try to put them in check. That's God's place.
Amen.
Like I tell my children, it ain't your, I don't care what that adult did. It ain't your place to be mouthing off at no adult. You come to your mom and your dad and we will deal with it.
That's right. Amen.
It's the same way in the body of Christ. We got some people with disrespect. I had one young lady, I spoke miracles in her life. I spoke healing over her body. God healed her body, and God gave her miracles left and right. Then it was just one time she kept on coming to me back and forth. Apostle, I need a miracle. Apostle, I need a miracle. The Holy Ghost stood up boldly in me and told me to tell her that you need to start reading your Bible. And she didn't like the way I told her, and she began to dishonor me and my wife and the ministry and say crazy things like, I don't follow no man and things of that nature. And I come to tell you that you have to, if you follow God, you have to follow a man. Anything that God, anything that God does in the earth realm, he uses a man to complete that task. So when people begin, when people begin to say that I don't follow no man, then obviously you don't follow God. The Bible also tells me that there was a little baby boy born as the Savior of this world, and his name is Yahshua, Jesus the Christ. He's all man, but he's all God, but he's all man as well. God used men. Anything God does, he uses a man. And if we don't know how to follow that man that God has appointed, we don't know how to follow the woman that God has appointed, we don't know how to follow the leaders that God has appointed, we really and truly aren't following God. Today what I'm supposed to be talking about is called order. The title of it is The Order of God. And when you're building, you need two key components. You need two key components. The components that you need is it has to be order, kingdom order, and it has to also be a heart thing. Has to be a heart thing, meaning that it has to be in your heart. Anytime you're building or doing or trying to complete a task, it has to be deep in your heart. If there's a lack of order and the vision of God is not within your heart, you're aimlessly walking in a direction of non-productivity. Now understand this. Understand this. The kingdom of Satan is the total opposite of the kingdom of God.
Man.
What do you mean, Apostle? Well, what I mean is this. Yahweh's kingdom, or God's kingdom, is built upon the principles of order, and Satan's kingdom is built upon the principles of disorder. It is the complete opposite of the kingdom of God. And anything that does not have order ultimately must have what? It must have chaos within it. Chaos within the inner workings. So how, even though Satan's kingdom is the opposite of God's kingdom, it is, and his kingdom is filled with total chaos, it is still what's called, quote unquote, organized chaos, if you get my drift. And understand what I mean by that. Even though the kingdom of darkness is full of mess, and full of messy people, and full of evil spirits, they still know and very clearly understand how to work together to complete their objectives. Demons know how to move in unity. Why? Because my Bible told me when Jesus tried to cast out demons of this certain person, he talked to legions. He asked their name. He asked the name, and the name, they said, we are legion. Do you understand what legion is? If you look at a natural army that had ranks upon ranks upon ranks of soldiers in different groups or different, they're aligned in different groups and they're set in order to get ready to attack, those are legions. Legions all coming together in unity.
Amen.
So even though Satan's kingdom is in chaos and disorder, they still work together. They work together. Why is it that we can't work together in the body of Christ? Why is it that the very thing that the kingdom of God is built upon, which is unity, we can't seem to get that right? Has to be a hard thing. So you see, it has to be within your heart. If it's not in your heart, then whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're trying to build, it will never succeed. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you something. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. So whatever in your mouth is going to come out, but it's going to show what's deeply in your heart. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing, people of God. It is a hard thing. It has to be deep inside of our heart. If it's not inside of your heart, then whatever you do will never make it. You often hear athletes, what do they say? When you see, I don't know if y'all ever watch boxing. When they boxing and you rooting for the little man, but he facing a guy that's 10 times his size. But the little man end up knocking the big man out. And many times what a lot of opponents that are the underdogs, a lot of times they say, you know, it's not necessarily my skill that made me win, but it was more so my heart that made me win.
Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Do you have the heart? You can be the most, they can rate you the most underdog. They can say, you know what, his daddy was a college dropout. But it don't matter what your daddy did. It matters if you got the heart and if you following God and if you can put God first and God is in your heart, then you can succeed. It's about what's in your heart. Mm-hmm. It's about what's in your heart. They talked about you and said that you will never make it and you will be a nobody. Mm-hmm. But do you have the heart of God? Do you have the heart of God? Mm-hmm. Body, I'm going to tell you something. The body needs the heart to be effective.
Yes.
Right.
It needs the heart to be effective.
Yes.
In order to pump the rest of the body full of blood.
Yes.
And in order for your body to survive, your heart has to continue to pump. You can live without a lung. You can live without a kidney. You can even live without part of your stomach. I know some people who got their intestines all messed up, and they living with part of their stomach gone. Mm. We all need to eat to survive, but you can live without it. You can live without a few meals.
Come on now.
But one thing you cannot live without, and that's the heart. That's the heart. The heart is the most vital and intricate part of the human biological system. Without this one organ, our entire body would cease to exist. It would die.
Uh-huh.
All right.
So even as it is the same thing when it comes to the spiritual things. Your heart and your head have to be in the game in order to move effectively in church planning or kingdom building. We build and we plant the church, which is our first assignment, but even after the church ceased to exist, even after the Sunday service has came and went, even after the choir has stopped singing, even after the tambourines have stopped ringing, the kingdom of God must still go on.
Yes.
It must still proceed. So in building anything, we need what? We need order and we need reverence, especially in regards to the kingdom of God. Let's talk about it a little bit. I want to read this scripture, 1 Corinthians, if you got your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 12:28. 1 Corinthians 12:28. I'm talking about the order of God on today. 1 Corinthians 12:28, it reads, "And God has placed in the church first apostles."
Yeah.
I really want y'all to see this. I want y'all to see this right here. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healing, helpers or the gifts of help, administrators, and various kinds of tongues." It says first apostles. Why? And it says second prophets. Why is apostles first and prophets second? Well, the church is built off of the apostles and the prophets because they are the foundation that Jesus Christ has set forth.
Amen.
A lot of people don't even know what an apostle is supposed to do.
Mm.
What does apostles do? What does apostles do? What do apostles do? Apostles bring forth order in God's kingdom.
Government.
We are what's called, if I can make you understand it more clearly, we are the governors. We govern the body of Christ. We bring forth order. True apostles have great love, but they also have strong order because we built like that. So when we preach and we preach fiery messages, it's not that we angry or mad against the people, but we fighting as a commander, as a general against the generals of the kingdom of darkness. I want you to understand this. Any true apostle comes to set order in love, but we come to set order. A true apostle, look at Apostle Paul's life. Apostle Paul set order in the churches of Corinth, in the churches of Ephesus. In every church that he established, he set forth order.
Amen, amen.
So that's what apostles come to do. Prophets are secondarily. They're next. Now understand this. When the Bible says apostles are first, I really want you guys to understand this. When the Bible says the apostles are first, it's not saying that the apostles are necessarily better or necessarily greater or God loves apostles more. The only thing that's different, the reason that it's saying the apostles are first is because our assignment is different. Our assignments are different.
Yeah.
A prophet comes to speak forth the oracles of God from the heart and the mouth of God. A prophet comes to give the church direction, but an apostle comes to set forth order.
Amen.
A prophet goes to the apostle and say, you know what? This is what God is saying about the movement, or about his movement, or about his church, or about his churches. He's saying that we need to go over here. And then an apostle, after he linked up with the prophet and listens to the voice of God through the prophet, and say, my prophet just spoke to me and said that the church or the move of God needs to go over here. Now that we're over here, we got to put things in place.
Uh-huh.
That's what he begins to do. He begins to organize things. He begins to set things up. He begins to speak the revelation of God. He begins to build up leaders, train leaders, and build God's churches. He begins to set pastors in order to protect the sheep. He begins to send out evangelists. He begins to send out teachers. And he begins to set God's kingdom in order.
Amen.
Amen.
Talking about the order of God. I hope y'all really getting something on today.
Yay.
This is what the Holy Spirit is saying.
Yeah.
Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14:40, if you got your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 14:40. This scripture right here is very clear and it's very precise. And when we read it, it says, let all things be done decently and in order.
Mm-hmm.
Let all things be done decently and in order. That is, you can't get no more plainer than that. A lot of people say, I don't understand the word of God. When I read it say, let things be done decently and in order, I don't know what they're talking about. No, you know what they're talking about. You just need deliverance. You just don't want to do things decently in order. You want to be wild and do whatever you want to do. But this scripture right here, New Testament, is telling us, even concerning the things of God, even concerning the church, we must do things decently and in order. So when you start popping off at the mouth, getting hood and ghetto, and you thinking it's okay, and trying to come against somebody, or come against your brother and sister, or come against a leader, then you looking like you got no good home training. You looking like you don't even understand in the Bible, but you've been in the church 10 years. It say, let things be done decently and in order.
Amen.
Amen.
Talking about the order of God. This message might not feel good, but some of us need to get orderly.
Amen.
Some of us need to get order in our life. You got your Bibles? I'm going to go to the Old Testament real quick. Glory to God. It says 2 Samuel 6:6. Open up your Bible, 2 Samuel 6:6-8. 2 Samuel 6:6-8. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to just read. I'm going to start flowing. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Bible goes on to say in verse 7, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there because he reached out his hand to the ark. And he died there beside the ark of God. Bible goes on to say, David was angry because the Lord has burst forth with an outburst upon Uzzah. So that place is called Perazah to this day. To this day. Understand, you have to, you see, Uzzah thought that he can help God with something. He thought that since the ark was being shook and it was about to fall, he can help God. But we got to understand, unless God beckons us or asks us for our help, God don't need our help.
Amen. He don't.
We have to have reverence and respect for the things of God. There has to be reverence and there has to be order. There are a lot of things going on in the body of Christ because people acting like Uzzah and they want to sit there and try to put their hands on God's glory. God's glory is only reserved for one person, and that's God.
Amen.
We got to have reverence and order. Uzzah, he thought that he can touch and help God's glory be held up off the ground, but what he did was really disrespect God's glory. And that's why God got angry and struck him down. You say, well, Apostle, why would God strike somebody down when he's trying to help out God? God didn't ask for his help. Some of us, we opening our mouths and putting our mouths on things when God didn't even tell us to speak on it. You got to be careful with that. I'm talking about reverence and order for the things of God.
We know this word has truly empowered you for this week.
And if you want to activate this word and manifest this word into your life, visit our website and sow into it. The website is www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .com, not .org, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. That is www.kci.world. As always, we are speaking life over you, and we are excited about your
now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name.
This has been your weekly supernatural word of empowerment from
the Generals.